I have a seminary degree. So I went to, you know, Gordon Conwell back east. Sometimes I bug the Regent students. I said, you know, I say, I went to a good seminary. So just to bug them a little bit. They're very similar, Regent, you know. In fact, Regent took some of our professors. You know, Gordon Fee used to be at Gordon Conwell, and then Gordon Fee went over to Regent. But I'm not really an academic, to be honest. I'm a pretty simple guy. And sure, I can talk about theology and stuff like that, and that's fine. But really, the way I try to live my life is I just want to listen to Jesus. I really want to try to hear what he's saying and just kind of do that. It's kind of simple, but it's not actually that easy. And so even this morning, there's all kinds of stuff yesterday were going through my mind. What am I supposed to share? Lord, what do you want me to share this morning? And you know what? I won't always get it right, but that's what I want to do. I want to try to listen. What are you saying, Jesus? And just kind of go with that. So I'm going to share a little bit on this passage. It's not going to be an exegetical message. I'm going to share a few comments on that. And then just share some things where I feel God, some of the history I feel God is bringing us through, where we are and where we're going. And then we'll have some worship after again, and then we'll have the pastoral search committee, and I think we're going to have at least one word shared. It's like my wife and I were like teaming up today, so yeah, so it's kind of fun. If you have that passage, Matthew 21, 1 to 11, if we can throw that up, that'd be great. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage, on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted. That would have been great to be there, eh? They shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred. That's good, right? The whole city, just Jerusalem, was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowd answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." I'm going to pray once more. Lord, you are in our midst today. Nothing takes you by surprise. This day did not take you by surprise. The things that are going on in our church and in people's lives, none of that took you by surprise. And you are with us, Jesus. You have a plan and you have a purpose for us together. I thank you, Jesus, that your hand is upon this church. I thank you, Jesus, that your hand is upon each of our lives. And you are with us here together. And Lord, although we don't understand why things happen, when they happen, we know that you are with us. We pray, Jesus, increase our faith, Lord. Even today, I pray, increase our faith and increase our understanding and our knowledge of how close you are to us and how much you speak to us and guide us, and that you have a plan and a purpose for this church at this time. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. As I was looking at this passage, here's what was going through my mind. I was thinking, what are the various groups of people thinking? So I picked a few groups. The people, the crowd. What was the crowd thinking? Well, probably some of what they were thinking, because they weren't too fond of the Romans, right? The Romans were, you know, ruling Israel. Israel was an occupied nation. Not too many people want to be occupied by another nation. I don't think I've ever heard of anybody being happy, "Oh, you know, we're being occupied." And the Romans were brutal and rough. And so their understanding of the Messiah was to be a Messiah like David. And they were probably thinking, "This is it. Jesus is coming to Jerusalem and he's going to boot out the Romans. There's going to be an uprising. We've got our new king, Jesus. And they're excited, right? They're excited. Hosanna, blessed he who comes in the name of the Lord. This is it. What about the disciples? Kind of sounds like when we read scripture, a lot of them were probably thinking the same thing. They still weren't kind of getting what was going to happen. How about the religious leaders? At least the ones that were not fond of Jesus. Some of them were, right? There's some of them, Nicodemus and others. So what were they thinking? Here comes trouble, right? Some passages says, it'd be better for one person to die for the nation as opposed to having trouble from the Romans, right? They were worried about their seat of power, and they didn't want to lose those positions of power. And so they kind of tolerated the Romans because it gave them still some level of authority. Or they thought, this guy's a false prophet, right? This is bad. What were the Romans? This one's a little harder because we don't actually have a lot of information of what the Romans were thinking. But they could have been thinking, okay, who's coming here? Is this just, you know, because there were other people that called themselves prophets and they came and went. Is this gonna be a problem? Were they like kind of on high alert? I mean, it says the whole city was stirred, right? This maybe is not a good thing. How about Jesus? What do you think Jesus was thinking? Thinking about that, what was going through his mind? He was receiving the praise of the people that he'd be saying, yes, that's right. I am the king. But he also knew he was going to the cross a few days later, right? So we call this Sunday, we call it Palm Sunday, right? It's the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And I wonder what emotions Jesus was going through. And was there like this sense of lament? Was this sense of burden, right? We see some in Gethsemane. I wonder, it would be like quite a few mixed emotions. And what's fascinating is if we, you know, of course we have the story, we have hindsight, we've seen the story, we know what happens, Jesus dies and he raises again. We think about the disciples and even many of the people between the death and resurrection, like they would have been lamenting. It would have been hard, right? And some of you have been in that place or still in that place of lament, struggling with loss. You know, where Barry is at right now, it doesn't seem too far that he's going to be in that space as well. Of course, things can change. And lament is a hard thing, and it's difficult to go through because sometimes it feels like, God, where are you? Why is this happening? I would imagine the disciples after the death of Jesus, like, what happened? Like what happened? What happened? What's also fascinating to think, though, is depending on the situation, lament can change really quickly. With the resurrection, everything changed. And so in the seasons of our lives, in the seasons of our church, there can be times of lament, times of joy. Maybe sometimes there's a bit of both, right? It's like in the midst of lament, there's still joy, and you still feel the presence of God. You know, there's no kind of exact rule of the way it happens. Also, it would be like the people thinking or the disciples thinking, we thought Jesus was going to get rid of the Romans and be our king. And so we got to remember that God's ways are higher than our ways. And we don't always understand what he is doing, but we need to trust. And so I wanted to segue that into some of the things that I've seen and observed. Some of you have heard this before, and maybe in a family meeting in another setting. I'm going there again. So sometimes it's like we go back. I want to encourage you. I want to show you what I believe God is saying to us as a church. I'm going to go back to some words from 2017. So this was before Barry was even here. And these are words that some of the people we are very, very blessed to have a number of people that hear the Lord. And hear that some people hear the Lord really specifically. And actually, sometimes I think that's a bit scary because it's like really? Like, that's really specific. I'll get back to that in a bit. But here's one of the words in fall of 2017. A shrinking season for redemption. I feel that the church at Redemption will go through a season. Through a tough season. I feel that there will be a season of shrinking in numbers of attendees in the church. We will shrink in numbers. things will appear bleak, and one would think that this church is dying, a losing church. I believe that there will be a time that there would be even thoughts about closing the church. There will be loss in numbers and just a remnant left. This is the process of purging. This is supposed to happen. So if maybe some of you are newer here, you know, back then we used to have double services. We were much bigger, right? Where we are, this was supposed to happen. That's where, there's other words, but I'm just highlighting three. The second one, this one is dated October 18th, 2017. So for some of you who don't know, but we've cataloged as many of these words from the last 10 years or so. I see a very old sailing ship from the 19th century. It was a wooden sailing ship with many sails and was built for traveling long distances across the ocean. I saw it come to a lagoon-shaped body of water, and it tied up at a dock. It was a large ship and has seen many years of service. The entire crew disembarked from the sailing ship. Not one original crew member was left on board. After they left the boardwalk, an entirely new crew gathered together and got onto the ship to take the vessel on its next voyage. I felt this was going to happen regarding the current board elder members. So this is 2017. There's been a complete turnover from that time, you know, even closer to now, like, or farther back from like the last three or four years. That has switched. There's been a complete change in leadership. The third word, which is a word that probably only a couple of you know here, you'll understand why, because some words you just can't share, right? So this is a word that it wasn't from me. I did not receive this word. No, actually, none of these words that I feel. They were from other people. This is in 2017. The pastor who would be coming, Barry, would not be here a long time. That was the word we had. Obviously, you can't share that one publicly, right? You have to wait. And so why am I telling you these things? I'm telling you these things because I believe that God, like we kind of know this, that God has our lives in his hand, right? But there's even more to that. God really does speak and can tell us specific things for our lives and for our church. And he is and has been doing that. I believe that God has a plan for this church, a very specific plan. Everything that we've been through over the last years, it has been a pruning time. It's sure, some of it was related to COVID, but if we take COVID out of the picture, that we would have still gone through some of these things. God has brought us to a place of pruning. Why? I don't know for 100% why. I don't necessarily need to know. I've had some people say, and I think that it is worth that there was a place that our church was, we kind of thought a little too highly of ourselves and we needed to be humbled. The Lord is able to humble us individually and as a church. How does it look to be a humble church? I don't know. Like, how does it, like, you know, do I go to Simon and say, hey, by the way, Simon, Chris, me, I'm a really humble guy. Just to, like, how do we gauge that? I don't know. I don't know how do we gauge that as a church. But I do believe that there's some truth in that. And I pray that we would walk individually and together as a church humbly before the Lord, knowing that the Lord has his hand upon us, but that he is the Lord. During the family meeting a few weeks ago, I shared it, but I'm going to share it again. I was reading a book by Jerry Cook, in one place he says the Lord spoke to him about Jesus saying, I will build the church. I will build the church. And he was like, well, what do I do? He says, just listen to what I'm saying, be obedient, be available to me, and try to stay out of the way, right? Jesus will build the church. If we try to do it, it will fall apart. This is hard in our Western world where we're told you can be whatever you want to be, go get a good education, and you'll have success, whatever that may look like to you. It does not work like that in the church. Yes, we offer our gifts, but we offer our gifts under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, surrender to him, knowing that any good thing that we do is a gift from God. And I think God is trying to get our attention on that, is to be humble before our King and be in a position where we say, Lord, you build the church. Just show me what's my part? What's my part? Let me just serve. Let me love, however that looks. So I'm gonna share one more word. I don't have this one dated. It's a few years old, and it's not, again, it wasn't myself who had it, but there was this word, I know these are always fun. Your church is pregnant. I'm like, okay, great, right? So some of you remember that. What the heck does that mean, right? Now, like if you look in the Bible, there's a lot of weird stuff that happens in the Bible, and there's like dreams and all these kinds of things that happen. And honestly, I would prefer God say, hey, okay, step one, do this, step two, do this, step three. That is not how God works, right? He can do that, of course, right? We don't want to put God in the box. But generally what happens is, you know, Jesus spoke in parables, like what does it mean, right? Or when there's dreams and visions, intentionally, the answer is hidden. Why? Why is it hidden? Okay, it's hidden so we pursue God and we draw close to him that he can show us and guide us. But it's not hidden so we can't find it. I heard a great analogy. It's like an Easter egg hunt, right? You're not hiding the Easter eggs so the kids can't find them, unless you're kind of like a really malicious parent and you want to keep them for yourself, right? They're not going to find any of these Easter eggs and I'm going to eat them all myself, right? We don't do that, right? And when they're really little, it's like you put it on the chair, right? And then maybe when they're older, you hide it a bit more. So there's a bit more, but you're hiding it so they can find it. That is how I believe when God speaks in dreams and visions. That is part of the aspect of it. So that word, God is, you know, we're pregnant. Okay, great. What does that mean? That was it. There was no other information. So are we pregnant a few days? Are we like 6 months? Nothing. And so what do we do with that, right? Well, what we do with that is we just wait. And we maybe put it on a shelf, right? We shelf the word. And I actually kind of forgot about that word. And last, I believe it was end of August, beginning of September, I have permission to share this because just, you know, like to have to share if I'm going to name whose word it was. After a church service, we're in the car driving home, and Daniel, my son, says, God spoke to me. I'm like, okay, what did he say? And there was something for himself. And the other one says, the baby's kicking. And then immediately I remembered about this. We had a piece of information. The baby's kicking obviously means we've got a range. So what I propose to you is that God is moving in our midst. Something's happening. We're not stagnant. The numbers decreasing does not mean we're bad or something like that. We are in God's hands, and he has his purposes for this church, okay? I want to encourage you with that. And yeah, it was hard to see some people leave, right? It was hard. That's not easy. It's hard when some people like losing family members. These are hard things, right? And some of those things, I don't know, maybe when I start pastoring here, some of you guys are going to be like, I don't like Chris, I'm out of here. So I will take it personally. Honestly, I will. I'm sensitive about that stuff. So just remember, if you leave, it will affect me. But everybody needs to be where God is calling them. And I'm totally fine with that our church belongs to the Lord. But it is hard, right? So I'm going to share a few things. Last fall, I have a counselor, we meet about once a month, and I can't remember the exact context, but he started talking and we were talking, and he mentioned Acts 3:19 about times of refreshing. And when he said that, it wasn't here, it hit me here. I said, this is it. This is what God is calling us to. He's calling us to times of refreshing. So he told me, you know, he showed me this, I don't know if it was October or November, somewhere around there. Why is he showing me that then? So I could pray. So, and I've shared this a little bit with you publicly or in some of the prayer people. That's where I believe God is calling us to. So this is going to be the sermon series that's going to start next Sunday on this topic. Now, this is an interesting topic because what I cannot do, or any of us cannot do, we cannot make times of refreshing happen. We can't. Only Jesus can. I can't do it. I'm glad I can't do it. I don't want to have that kind of power. But that's what I felt he's saying, and I'll get back to that in a moment. Also, last October, I felt God said, it was really clear to me, God said, Barry's leaving. Like, okay, this is the message I'm giving you to preach, and this is when you're going to preach it. I was like, okay. It was clear that I was going to preach this message next Sunday. And I actually didn't know it was Easter Sunday, and he gave me the passage. I purposely have not shared the passage. And it's an Easter message. I don't know what that means. So maybe for some of you, that makes you feel uncomfortable. That's pretty specific. And that's okay to be uncomfortable with that, because some of you are like, I don't have a grid for that. That's okay. I encourage you to sit in that discomfort and ask yourself, why does this make me feel uncomfortable? Maybe there's some history. So if, you know, you talk to me or Andrea and myself, we can tell you some of the history around spiritual gifts, prophetic, and stuff going awry, and like just messes. I'm familiar with that. I've been there where there's, you know, so much, and it gets strange. I don't want that either. Like, it can. But then the other side of it is that we quench the spirit. We can do that. It can happen. And the Holy Spirit would say, okay, if they don't want more of me, okay, that's okay, right? And then what do you do with that too, right? Okay, Barry's leaving, here's the message, this is when it's gonna happen. Like, what do you do with that as an individual? You need a lot of wisdom, right? Obviously, you know, don't come up tonight, by the way, and stand up here, right? And say that to everybody. I can't do that, right? So there does need to be wisdom and discernment on what do we do when we feel God is showing us something. And very early on, I said to Barry, if you're leaving, I will offer to be the transitional pastor. I said, I want that out in the open, be transparent. So there's no, you know, kind of weird hidden agendas or however that would look. I want to have the relationships in the leadership do well. And then when it was confirmed that Barry was leaving, what do I do with that? By the way, board and elders, God told me, I'm the man, right? What do I do with that, right? And so honestly, the board and elders, they were very gracious. They were very, very kind, and we navigated that. But it was some navigating, right? Like, how much do I say? Because you don't want to, like, force your way into something, but you also don't want to say something. And so I think this is actually a place where when we use our logic and our reason and those natural gifts, we need to pair that very well along with the supernatural gifts of God speaking. And I think we're in a process of, you know, balancing that out. You know, I love when I hear a teacher, I'm not a teacher, in the sense of like the gift of teaching. When I hear a teacher that's like so gifted in that, I have to watch being jealous because I love it, right? And I just sit under that teaching and you receive that gift, right? So various people have various gifts, and we want to honor all the gifts, and how do we balance that together? I don't know if we're quite there yet on the corporate level, but I believe we're moving in the right direction, because at the end of the day, we want to be like Jesus, right? What did Jesus do? I only do what I see my Father doing. So if Jesus was fully subject to the Father's will, if he's doing that, don't we need to do that too? And that's not always easy, because it is more subjective. It is easier to have, you know, how do you build a church? Well, step one, step two, step three. But God doesn't always work the way we think he works. And we need to be open to things looking different. So back to the times of refreshing. I'm making a premature announcement, but it's okay. In November, I contacted someone we know, we have some relationship with him, goes back to when Tim Horman was here, with Bob Ekblad. and about doing a conference. So we're actually going to do a conference at the end of May. I talked to Sarah. It will be posted. You can take a look. It will be posted this week on the website. We were kind of waiting a bit because we had a lot of announcements, but I felt like it was important because of the context of what I'm sharing. So he's going to come that last weekend of May. I didn't realize when we're planning it, it's actually Pentecost weekend. So he'll speak Sunday. It'll be a Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday night, Sunday morning. If you can be here, be here. I think it's going to be good. And so he said, what do you want the topic to be on? And I said, well, you know, Bob, I'm emailing him. I said, I want you to have freedom. If you feel to go a certain way, go with that. However, we're feeling the sense of, you know, Acts 3:19, times are refreshing. If that's okay, what could you consider that? He emails me back and he says, I'm preaching on that today. Yes, let's go with that. Those are not accidents. Okay? Why am I telling you all this? I'm telling you this because God is speaking. God is preparing something. God is preparing something for this church. And I don't think it's just for this church, but it's for the city. I think it's hard for us sometimes to wrap our head around that. It's hard for me. It's kind of scary, right? So I feel this message next Sunday. So I'm on this side of the message. I don't know what Jesus wants to do. Next Sunday, I know some of you won't be here. This is the date. Some of my students will be coming from UCM. It could be a moment in time in our church that is significant. It has nothing to do with me. Jesus may be saying, this is it. Something is going to happen next Sunday. I can't guarantee that. I can't make a promise. But if I'm reading the data right, the prophetic data, and what I feel God is saying to me and listening to others, I think he wants to do something in our midst. And I want to encourage you this week to be praying, to be seeking the Lord, to posture your heart in anticipation that Jesus wants to do something in our midst. I don't know what it will look like. I've seen, you know, moves a little bit here and there. Sometimes it can look different. Like I've seen like people shake or fall down. I think there's times where it can be like if you've followed, some of you may have followed what's happened in Asbury and there was kind of a move of God there. It was really quiet. I can't tell you what God is going to do unless he shows me, but I want to be open to whatever the Holy Spirit wants to do in our midst. I do not want to control the Holy Spirit. I'd rather be uncomfortable than quench the Spirit. And help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. What that might look like. But if it's Jesus, isn't that what we want? If Jesus comes into our midst, like for me, I've been praying for a spiritual awakening for years. It's the longing of my heart. I think it's the need of our city. This is a hard city. And I said, Jesus, if you will allow us to receive a visitation of your Holy Spirit, however it looks, as long as it's you, as long as it's you, I don't care what it looks like. We will pastor it and steward it. Sure, there might be excesses. Maybe some things will look different. I don't know. But I want Jesus. We need Jesus in this city to come, to continue to transform our lives, to see his kingdom come. I asked one of my friends who is at UBC, who's from a different part. I said, when you're at home and you come back here, does it feel different? He says, yeah, it feels different. I said, what do you feel here in the city? He says, it feels sleepy. And I'm like, I think that's right. I think there's a, and it doesn't mean I'm, well, it does mean sometimes in the natural, I think a lot of people are, it feels like people are tired all the time. You know, I just so you know, I don't think that's just simply, I didn't get enough sleep or whatever. I think that's a spiritual dynamic in our city. There's a sleepiness. And God, we can't wake ourselves up, but we can say, God, if we need to be woken up, wake us up. Wake us up from our spiritual slumber. I think these are some of the things that God is saying. I want to do my best. This is like my commitment to you as best as I can. I won't get it all right. I'll mess up. If I mess up, Hopefully, I'm humble enough to stand up in front of you and say, you know, I was really wrong about that. I really messed up. I want to walk. That's the way I want to walk. But I really want to see people get saved. I want to see us to walk in holiness, to love Jesus. Andrew and I didn't plan what she was going to share, and she didn't know what I was going to share this morning. But, you know, the passage she shared at the beginning, that we'd be in this close, intimate place with Jesus, and we would love him with all our heart, with everything that is in us, and that we would be willing to lay down our very lives for the gospel. That's maybe scary, but I believe that God is speaking to us about these things.